Praise God. Lord, we ask you to bless sermon number two. Sermon number one was not received properly. But let's go to sermon number two and pray that it be received much better. Father, we give you praise. Thank you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Praise God. Tati, you weren't taping me all that. Okay, so until I tell you, but it was taping me. Okay, sometimes you have to brew a special coffee for home folks, and then you don't give everything to outside. We just appreciate God today, and glad to see everyone here in the house of God, and we do miss you when you're not here. Brother Andy, it's good to see you and your wife, and we miss you. And we are our brother's keeper. We are our brother's keeper. The church is not yours. It's not your church. It belongs to Christ. He died for it. You didn't die. And I didn't die for the church. Remember that. It's Christ. And Jesus is in the saving business. And the Lord knows our hearts. Known unto God are all his works. From the foundation, we had that scripture. In Acts, is it in Acts? We're known unto God are all his works from the foundation of the world. God knows everything, if you can understand that. You and I don't know everything, but God knows everything. Amen? God knows everything. And when you follow the ways of God, and you begin to let the Lord have his way, then you'll find out that God will manifest and bring you through every situation. And when we come to God asking God to guide us and asking God to deliver us and to help us, then God will have mercy on us. Amen. Now in Acts the 15th, thank you, chapter, 15. Acts 15, verse 18. Do you want to back up a little, sorry, a little bit more right there? What does verse 17 say? Well, he's going to come back in verse, this 15th chapter is a beautiful chapter. I'd like to go up a little bit more to verse 13 when the message was okay. Go further, because this is in line to what I was saying. It's beautiful how they handle situation in a local church. In verse, go up to verse 12 when the problems were brought to the apostles. See, they had a problem. They had a problem. Let go to verse 1. Let me see what verse 1 say before I started. Okay. Now notice here. Let me go to verse 1, okay? Come on down fast. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren. No, now notice they were overstepping their authority. I was speaking about the order and government in church that he has given to the apostle, to the church, the apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. But when you have certain men and certain women and certain religion and certain people, unless you have a call for that ministry where you ought to stay in what you're called for. See, because if you step out of that, then you're going to be in trouble. You might give the wrong advice because you might be counseling or talking to someone from the human. And then sympathy comes in and side comes in. So you need someone that has no favor, but just take orders from God and to hear what the Spirit has to say. See, said certain men came down from Judea, taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now they were wrong. They were giving the wrong advice. They were dead wrong. Somebody say amen. Amen. Shake your head and say they were dead wrong. Now, if the church had followed that course and gone down that course, they'll all be destroyed. Because that spirit was bringing them back under the law. Certain men. They were not even, their names were not even important. They were not appointed of God. And they were teaching that unless you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. So everybody was running to look for someone to circumcise them because they want to be saved. Do you understand how subtle and easy the devil pulls you away? You might believe a thing and hear the truth and was walking in the truth, but here comes a twister. Here comes another message, just so subtle. Unless you be circumcised. And notice where they were coming from, right at headquarters. They were coming from Judea. And verse 2 says, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, that means Paul got in there and got involved and began to straighten it out. See, because Paul was called of God, he was an apostle. He had the right word. Do you understand what a minister's job is?
Yeah.
How he gets in and straighten things out? See, here it says that, said they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of the of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles. To where? You notice where they go? They didn't go to a carpenter or a mechanic. See, they went to an apostle. See, they went to the pastors. They went to the teachers. They went to the divine order, divine government. That's what the church needs. Church needs to recognize what divine order is. Now, if you're going to have a place in the government of God, you're going to have to start recognize that. Divine order, divine government. He will never let you sit on a throne unless you can recognize divine order. So it says that they sent certain men up to Jerusalem to find out and to settle this matter because it was very strong. And a lot of the saints were beginning to believe it. And so they should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church. Notice the church accompanied. The church was behind this. They passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversation of the Gentiles. And they caused, notice what they did. Your message must cause joy. When you finish talking to that person, they must feel better. When you finish talking to that person and counseling that person, they must have a hope. They must want to come to church. They must want to, you don't leave a burden on them. You notice when the disciples, when the church unites and they move as one body, not as an individual, but as they move as a body, and they went up declaring the conversion, is it? The conversion of the Gentiles. They're telling them the Gentiles getting saved. Something is going on in the Gentile world. God is in the Gentile world. Christ is visiting. The same God, the same Holy Spirit that they had in Jerusalem, now the Gentiles had it. And they caused great, notice what your life should be. You should live a life where you cause great joy. When people hear about you, say, bless the Lord for my brother or my sister. See, they cause great joy unto the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, still moving as a unit, not individuals, they were received of the church. So they went from one church to another church. Okay? And of the apostles and elders, and they declare all things that God had done with them. You notice how they spread it out? It was not individuals. One over here have a little piece dealing with a matter. And another little group over here dealing with a matter. And another one over here dealing with a matter. You're going to have chaos. You're going to have disunity and disharmony in a church. When one get a hold of something, not as a church, but as an individual. What's going to happen? We're going to take sides because I like that one better than that one. But when you move as a unit, as a church, when you move as a body against a problem, but when you move as an individual, then it's going to be one-sided. And somebody's going to lose. Because somebody's going to cry, unfair. I don't like the way it's dealt with. See? And that's why God has given to the church the wisdom and the knowledge how to deal with a problem. And that's why you need church order and church government, which is lacking today. Because Deuteronomy 29 says, verse 29 said, and there was no king in Israel, so every man did that which was right in his own eyes. But the things that was right in their eyes was wrong in the eyes of God. So it's not doing what is right in my own ways, ideas, my eyes or so, but it's how God sees it, how the word of God sees it. And it says, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders. And they declared all things, shout. That who? When you talk to somebody, what's your message? Where do you take that person? You ought to take them back to say, you remember now, child, when God did this for you? When God healed your child? See? Because at that time, they might be so mixed up that they're not even thinking straight. But you go back and begin to tap into an experience. You remember when you had that broken leg? You remember how? When you were sick? You remember when you couldn't get a job? And how God did for you and what God did for you? And right then, a light began to shine. Because you're tapping into a testimony. You're tapping into something that God did for them. But when you get off of that track, when you go on something else negative, and you listen to all the negative, and two negatives never make a positive. So it's negatives. But and that's why you have a ministry that's positive. That's why you have a ministry that knows that God is able. See, when the spies went up, was it 10 of them were negative? But there were two that believed God and says we are well able. There was a 10. All they could see was the giants and the problems and the past and what you did and the mistakes you've made. But there was two that saw God as greater than your mistakes. God as bigger than the giants. They saw God that he's able. And because God was able, we are also able. And they saw the giants as bread. Now, he says, when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders. And notice, they were received of the church. That means they were up there for a few days. So the church took them in. They weren't staying over here and over here and over there, but they stayed as a unit in the church. They were received of the church. That means they ate together. They had beds and everybody could see what was going on. And they fellowshiped together. And they discussed the word of God and present the problems of the local church back there. And was it the Judaizers were doing? And how they were teaching, unless you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. And they declared, shout. Brother, everybody was at one unit. When you're dealing with a problem, they were dealing with a problem. Notice how the church got together as a unit. Not as an individual, but a unit. And they came against that problem. And what happened? God broke through. And they declared all things that God had done. You don't focus on somebody's mistakes or their problem. Well, you know, and no, you tell them how God saved them 15 years ago. You remember how they got to receive the Holy Ghost and got knocked down. You remember how they put away the drugs and throw away that liquor. You ought to go back and tap into something in their lives, what God did for them. Oh, God brought you out. Are you listening now? Oh, God brought you out of the mire and the clay. He brought you out of the pit. And how He set your feet upon a rock. And they declared what God, you stay with God now, what God did. Not what they, don't focus on what they did. Because we all did something wrong. I mean, that's the easiest thing to prove. You're wrong. And but tell them what God done for you. Now let me ask you. Has he done anything for you? Did he do anything for you? Is he still doing something for you? Well, somebody ought to raise their hands and shout. Do you have a testimony? Do you have a testimony that God has done something for you? Huh? That's what you ought to live with. That's what you ought to hold on. Show them what God has done for you. Talk about what God has done for you. But if you begin to talk about negative and who did what, we'll be here all day. Verse 5 says, but there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees. Notice, you have unbeliever all the time, which believe not, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. They were wrong. They were wrong. They had a wrong doctrine. Let's read on. And the apostles and elders came together, notice here now, for to consider of this matter. How would they consider this matter? You think they were just gossiping and talking about, I know about what this one? No. They considered it by searching the word. Like the Bereans, and they search and study the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. And Jesus Christ told the scribe and Pharisees to go back and search the scriptures. You see, we need to stay in the word of God. And they were considering it over the word of God. Now let's go on to find out how they were considering it. He said, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up. They were talking back and forth, much disputing, because they want the truth. And Peter rose up and said unto them, men, listen, pay attention. Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us. He did. See, you see the testimony? Do you understand how Peter had a testimony? When God made choice among. When Jesus said, blessed art thou, Peter. Simon Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And he said, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Right, you've got to hold on to what God did for you. Yeah. Are you listening? Amen. Don't move off. Do you have a testimony? Yeah. Did God ever do anything for you? Yeah. When the storms rise up and the disputing rise up, and you're going back and forth, and you don't know what to do, get back to your testimony. Get back to what God, get back to what God did for you, and begin to tell everybody, how God has been good to you and pull you out of the pit and how he saved you. That's what you go by. Amen. Don't stand there and arguing and try to prove a point. Just bring God into the conversation and into the disputes. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us. That the Gentiles, oh hallelujah, look at that. That the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel. And he did. God did it. But notice Peter wasn't jealous. After that, God also raised up another man by the name of Paul and sent him far hence among the Gentiles. Amen. So it says that a good while ago, God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Praise God. And God, do you notice God? They're not leaving God out? When your conversation comes up, do you leave God out or is he in there? Are we trying to reason to people and leave God out, but we use our brain? I'm smart. I know. No, you're not. You're not. Because when it comes to spiritual things, It has to be spiritually discerned. That's another dimension. Now here, I stood on my feet this morning. Oh, Pastor made up that message. No, I did not. The pages just jumped open right there to me. And God gave me a message to preach. Now here, raise my notes. And God give a message you've never heard like this before. And God, which knoweth the heart. See, there it is now. When you're talking to that person, you don't know what's going on in their heart. But God knows. That's why you need discerning. Because they might be smiling and, nice. But you don't know what's going in their heart. But God knows. Which know their heart. Bear them witness. Giving them shout. What did he do? Giving them the Holy Ghost. Even as he did unto us. Now when you talk about this message and we go back here where, go back a little bit where he's talking about the Gentiles. Well, he said, yes, a long time ago, by my mouth, that the Gentiles made choice, that the Gentiles, by my mouth, should hear the word of this gospel. You could go to Acts chapter 10. Go there real quickly, and I'm coming back right here. But go to Acts in the house of Cornelius. You remember how God sent him? When Peter was up on the housetop praying? And he had this vision. Somebody ought to get me that scripture and start reading. There was a certain man, a Caesarea Philippi, by the name of Cornelius, a centurion of the band of, called the Italian bands. A devout man, read on, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision. Evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, notice how God can work without you. I was preaching last Sunday. God doesn't need you. He can use you, but he doesn't have to have you. That's why we need to lean on God. Because there was this man, don't even know Peter. Peter don't know him, but already God's dealing with him. God is dealing with him. And then he's going to deal with Peter. So, and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now here was this man praying. Now, was he saved because of Peter or was it because he was praying? So there's a lot of people, you don't know what's going on in their heart. God knows the heart of people. And somebody might be praying right now that you're condemning. Somebody might be praying right now that you put away. Somebody might be praying right now that you don't understand. Are you listening what I'm saying now? But God is able. Only God knows the heart of all men. And now send men to Joppa. And call for one, Simon, whose surname is Peter. Elijah, exactly where you live. He lodged with one, Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, he shall tell thee what thou art to do. Wow. And you limit God. What about the foreknowledge of God? What about the predestination of God? What about known unto God all his works? Well, you ought to be shouting this morning and say, God, I'm going to cast all my cares on you because you know. You ought to lift your hands up. And said, I surrender to you, Lord. Help me, Lord. Because God knows where you live. He has your address. He knows your phone number. Hallelujah. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became like your pastor, very hungry, and would have eaten. But while they made ready, tarry, took long to serve him his meal, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise up, rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." But notice that God has a right to change you and make you do what you never did before. He has a right to make you love who you never loved before, who you can't love. He has a right to change your mind and make you love them, though they're unclean. They're not as clean as you are. They're not as perfect as you are. So sometimes your wife wear a dress that you don't like. I like my wife's dress, but it is only a point. But sometimes she might wear a dress that you don't like that much. But what do? Because you might have a suit on that she don't like either. But you all have to meet somewhere there. But if she likes a dress that I don't like that much, I have to know how to live with that dress. Yeah. And it's not that I would love the dress, but because my wife have it on, I love the dress because of her. Do you understand how we have to adjust? I'm using a point to show you. Sometimes you don't like things. Just like you don't like the kids running in the house. You stop them, but you don't throw them out. Are you following now? Because you can't throw the kids out just like you put the dog outside. And the voice spake unto him again the second time. Notice here, the second time. What God, are you listening? What God had cleansed, what God has saved, what God has delivered, what God has rescued from the bar, from the tavern, from the drugs. Don't send them back out there. Don't cast them away. Don't call them. Are you listening? Don't call them unclean. And brother, there was a lot of, I've got a message, not right now, but because Leviticus tells you there were certain unclean things that they couldn't touch. They couldn't eat it. I know God telling him. Not only that, but God sent a whole sheet full down to him and said, "Rise up and kill and eat." He says, the voice spake unto him again the second time. What God had cleansed. What God had cleansed. What does that mean? Save, cleanse them. Oh, you're looking at me all straight and smart, but you ought to say amen. What God had cleansed. Did God cleanse that person beside you? Well, you got every right to love them. Why? Because when God cleansed them, they're no more unclean. Jesus said, "You're clean by the words which I've spoken unto you." What God has cleansed, that call not thou common, nor unclean. And this was done, it took a long time to get it true to us. What God has cleansed, three times. Don't call common. That means that's precious. When God cleansed the Gentiles, they're now sons of God. They're precious. And this was done thrice, and the vessel, notice where the vessel was received. Where you don't believe that they could ever get to heaven, just you. It was received up again. It came from heaven and it went back to heaven. Because that shows what men are arguing and fighting over, God already had them in his bosom. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, while Peter doubted, you see that? Doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean. Behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Look how God did the work. God did the job. And called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, even though his surname were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit, Holy Ghost, have to step in. See that? While you're thinking on the vision, you're wondering, can they be saved? Is there any hope for them? The Holy Ghost has to step in. The Holy Spirit stepped in and said unto him, behold, three Gentiles that I told you not to call common or unclean, the outside. Open the door. But notice, Peter was behind locked doors. But there's somebody on the other side of the door is knocking and begging you to open the door. But you're locked up inside because that's security. They're unclean. Can't touch that. You can't touch that. And so you're inside in a nice, cozy, nice, clean place. But the outside dirty. Only the Gentiles. But notice, God said him to open the door. Open the door. Let them in. Have fellowship with them. Some people you think is gone, funny. Open the door to them. That's the door of your heart. Give them a space. Talk to them again. Invite them to church again. Give them a phone call. Tell them you love them. Oh, I couldn't do that. They're unclean. Are you listening to what I'm saying? They're just Gentiles. That's just somebody that I used to drink with. And I can't talk to them no more. Try again. But you say, but I'm afraid they might pull me. No, because now you're drinking from Joel's bar, Joel's place. You're drinking the Holy Ghost. You already have the Holy Ghost. So you got something stronger. Hallelujah. So they're not going to pull you there. You're going to bring them in. So when Peter opened up the door, and therefore, and get thee down, and go with them. Back up to verse 19. Says, while Peter taught on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. They're outside seeking you. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, nothing doubting, for I have sent them. Oh. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause whereof you are come? The Lord already told him. Why are you here? And they said, Cornelius is sent to you, a just man, and one that feared God and of good report among all the nations of the Jews. It was warned from God by an angel, a holy angel, to send for thee into your house and to hear the words from thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them. You notice what he did? Call them in. Give them a bed. Maybe that's the first time he ever done that. And certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. See the order? And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, Cornelius waited for them and called together kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet, and worshiped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, you know, you see that race thing, tribal thing, race thing, color thing, it's been going on. He know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God had showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So every race is valuable. So Jesus is the end of the race and tribal wars. Therefore came I unto thee without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent, I asked therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood in bright clothing, before me, bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call either Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, look at this, of a truth, God, I perceive that God is no respecter of person. He doesn't love wife or husband or children or racial or cousins or uncle or niece or nephew differently. No respecter of person. Nations, rich, poor, black, bond, your color doesn't matter. Your nationality does not matter. Where you came from doesn't matter. It's the heart. Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And he's not. God wants to save us. But in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted. Do we have any like that? Amen. You want to work righteousness? Come on. I mean, come on. Admit. What's in your heart? What is in your heart? Next verse. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ is Lord. Quickly. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about, notice, doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hang on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake, notice here, the Holy Ghost, the what? He never wait for Peter to finish. The Holy Ghost fell on him, on them which heard the word. Shout. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water? And notice here, they didn't have to go to another country to learn the language. Because Mexico is so close. They didn't have to go to Mexico to learn and then to speak, or then go to Japan. No, it was the Holy Ghost. Amen. So when some preacher's telling you, no, they've got to go and learn some language, that's not true. It's the Holy Ghost that did it. Amen. Immediately. They didn't leave the room to learn the languages. And here it is. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we did? That's when they did at the day of Pentecost. Amen. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they many days to tarry certain days. Okay? Now, so that do you understand one? So that's what Peter was referring to. How God at the first made choice that the Gentiles should hear the word of God through him. Now go back to Acts 15 and let's begin to wind this down. Acts chapter 15, where was I? What verse was I?
Verse 4,
for time's sake. Verse 4. And when he looked on him, that's it, he was afraid and said, what verse? Can we get there? No. And God, which knoweth the heart, verse 8, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. See the same thing back there? Cornelius, that's what Peter was saying. Go on. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the apostles or the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? That's under the law. Next verse. But we believe, do you believe? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. One salvation. God has one way to save us. Then all the multitudes kept silent and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders were that God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Verse 13. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon, notice, Simon, Peter, Simeon. Remember he said it, he declared it, what God did among the Gentiles? Chapter 10, Simon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written. You can go into the prophets and find that God would visit the Gentiles and take a people out. Then after the times of the Gentiles was finished, it would return and rebuild again the tabernacle of David that's torn down. Clear. After this, after the end of the Gentile age. This is important. We had that lesson before, but we're going to get into it again. At the end of the Gentile age, we're coming up on that, which started from the time of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel until the second advent of Jesus. Amen. The time of the Gentile age. Okay? And I show you Wednesday night, Malachi, from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. When did he rise? The sun rose up on the day when he was crucified, and he rose from the grave. Amen. As the Son of Righteousness. Amen. Because thou hast loved righteousness and hate iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. So now, the Son of Righteousness rose with healing in his wings. Okay, now, let me hurry on. After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up under the Messiah. God will give him the throne of his father David, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called. See, predestination, foreknowledge, known unto God are all his works, upon whom my name is called, where they were chosen in Christ from the foundation of the world to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's why Cornelius had to accept the Lord as his Savior. That the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, said the Lord, who doeth all these things. Who do it? All these things. What does he do? He's the one that's doing it. So when you testify, when you're witnessing, remember, you're only a mouthpiece. But it's God that worketh through you. Known unto God. Oh, I feel like shouting. Known unto God. So why would you dispute? Why would you argue? Why would you get offense and speak about God? That's not fair. How could he? Esau, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. How do you know what God's doing? The children having not yet born, but you don't know the other side of God. When he said to Jeremiah, I knew you before I formed you into your mother's womb and called you and ordained you as a prophet. Amen. To pull down, to tear down. Yes. How do you know? Amen. How did God know Jeremiah? How did God choose Paul to bear the gospel to the Gentiles? Amen. And kings and the children of Israel? Yes. We've come to, it was told Esther, no doubt, you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. How did God know that Haman wanted to destroy the Jews? But God raised up a little girl. How did God reach over in Moab and save Ruth, brought Ruth out of Moab? And from her lineage came David and the Christ. Do you know what God's doing? That's why we need to surrender. Known unto God. Can you accept that? Can you believe that? If you believe that, you would say, Lord, I accept your work. Because a lot of times when something's going on in your life, it's because God's trying to save you and change you and let you surrender and buckle down and fall on your face before him and say, Lord, that will be done. Do you know that? When daddy wants to spank Johnny, but Johnny knows where to run. Johnny run to mama. Because mama is going to shield Johnny from the whip. But daddy knows Johnny need the whip. Known unto God are all his works. And God knows when a church, an individual, when we need whipping. I know that. I've been through it. God knows how to. Oh, known unto God. He knows how to break your leg, break your feet, break your back. He knows how you to crawl and beg and said, when affliction comes up, oh God, help me. But you never have done that otherwise. But it's when the flesh, the outward man is perishing. But God's working that the inward man might be renewed. My day by day. Because God's working in your life. And mama take the blow for Johnny when daddy raised up the rod, not knowing that thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table. God's getting ready to spank and use Johnny and to move him up. And we take the blow. God knows how to. Sometimes just knocking your toe doesn't work. You have to break the knee. I don't mean that. You know what I'm saying. Sometimes pastors say things. They say, oh, no. It's a lesson. Right? God knows how to break a jaw then. He knows how to give you one where it hurts. And when you would have liked to go there, but you can't, because your back won't let you go. Or God knows you got a fiery temper and he want to cool you down. So what happened? You find the doctor said, ma'am, you got heart problem and you must stay calm. And just when you go home, everything, the cats spill over the stew. I mean, everything's going wrong. And you would have gotten mad, but you remember that old heart. So you, what do? You take a deep breath and blow it out and be calm. And you sit there and boy, you're sitting down, but you're standing up inside. I mean, you like to do somebody some hurt, but you can't. That old body won't let you do it. The flesh is wearing out. See, that's what goes on with us. Our flesh is wearing out. And God wants to use you. How would God use Paul, Saul, change his name and use him? He had to give him a blind eye. A blackout. And then he began to see. God gave us this lesson right here. I never thought of this lesson. Never thought of this lesson. I was going somewhere else. But because God wants this church to come on a higher level. Amen. God wants you to come on a higher level. God wants to lift you up. And when God is calling a church or an individual, God knows how. There's always a whale out in the middle of the ocean. Amen. So, note unto God, I like these words. All his works from the beginning. The beginning of the world. From the foundation. So what's going on with your life? You're chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And nothing is going to happen to you that God cannot take care of. Because it's God that worketh in you. Both. Somebody shout. Both. To will and to do. Of his good pleasure. Amen. And amen.